This is Ian Pickus for WAMC, and I'm doing an interview I don't want to do. I say that as a longtime listener, member, and news director here at Northeast Public Radio, where our Brian Shields is about to wrap up a 30-year career in the newsroom. The voice of Midday Magazine and Northeast Report each day, Brian is retiring at the end of December, leaving a big hole on our staff and for our listeners. But before he calls it a career, Brian did agree to sit down with me. Thanks, Brian.
You're welcome.
Why did you decide to step away?
Well, the house is paid off. I'm 62. I've been here, like you said, 30 years, 30 years and 3 weeks to be exact. And it was just time. I think I've done everything I wanted to do and time to spend some time at home.
This wasn't your first radio station.
Oh, no.
What did you do before you started working at WAMC?
I worked in commercial radio. Several spots. I delivered the news when I was a youngster. I was a paper boy for the old Schenectady Union Star during the afternoon news. That paper is long gone. Then I went into radio, started up in the Amsterdam area, Gloversville, Johnstown, and moved into the Albany market, some country music station, and finally WGY before one day I got a call from Don Decker, who was a legendary news director here. He also directed news at a lot of the local TV stations, Channel 6 and Channel 10, and said they had an opening, would I like to come over? And I met him at a Chinese restaurant, believe it or not. We agreed, and I've been here since December 4th, 1989.
A lot of important WAMC business happens at Chinese restaurants,
that's right.
What was your first sort of role at WAMC when you did show up here?
When I came here, there was National Productions, which we still have, the health show, and we had 51%. Those shows still exist. And what people in the newsroom would do news, and they would also do a national production show. I was brought in just to do news, to take the burden off the people who were doing news and national productions, to focus a little bit more on national productions and allow them to step back from the news for just a bit.
Here at WAMC, what were some of the, you know, the shows and the jobs and the things like that that you did in the newsroom and in the station?
I was here very briefly, and then there was a change, and I decided to, actually, I was asked to do the mornings. The morning edition local news fill-ins and the local news, and that went on for just over about 11 years, and I transitioned over to afternoons and evenings, and let me tell you, morning, the only person who got up with me was Alan Chartok, who'd usually be here, actually, when I actually got here at, like, say, 4, 4:30 in the morning.
How did you do the morning shift for that long?
It's tough. One of the big moments of my career, I actually got to meet Charles Osgood of CBS fame.
A legend.
Radio. Yeah, radio, TV fame. He got up for years and years, decades at that hour. He said to me, and I'll never forget it, he said, "You never get used to it. You just get used to feeling lousy." And that's pretty much it. Yeah, but you know, you go to bed early. Morning is a very important time in radio. So if you're going to have any success, any real success in radio, you're going to have to do a morning shift somewhere along the line.
What did you learn about how the sound of this station was being established as the, you know, its news profile increased over the years and, you know, the station did better and better? How did you guys decide, you know, what the approach would be here?
Well, the approach was very different here. In commercial radio, you did very quick stories. I mean, 40 seconds, anything over 40 seconds, they look at you kind of strangely. Here you do 3, 4, 5 minutes. Sometimes interviews can go on for 7 or 8 minutes. And we can do a much fuller, much more comprehensive job, I think, as compared to what we were doing or what I was doing in commercial radio. That was the biggest change, I think, is the time that was allowed to focus on one story.
You've been doing Midday Magazine now for a very long time, mm-hmm. and Northeast Report, which was carved out of sort of all things considered on
right.
either side there. It's an experience I've had for more days than I care to. How did you go about filling out those shows? Because a lot of times that would be your responsibility to figure out how are we going to get from 12 to 1?
Mm-hmm.
We were short today or, you know, something we were planning on was canceled. How did you manage that stress?
Well, I had a lot of help. We have our bureau chiefs, past, present, I hope future, who have really helped us along in those years, reporting from the Berkshires, Vermont, Northern New York, the Hudson Valley, Connecticut, etc. And they are a big, big part of Midday Magazine. And we have off-the-air people like yourself and Jim Lavoulis. They're on the air, but They do a lot to produce for Midday Magazine, and it was always like that. There's always been some good people helping me along.
Were you the news director for a while?
Very briefly, yeah, very early on.
And then you got away from that, huh?
Yeah.
Do you have any advice for me? There was a time when you left WAMC for a while.
Yeah, I was given an offer. I was, you know, I was really kind of very tired of the mornings and sort of newly married, but not really. And those mornings were taking a toll on me. And I was offered a job that did not turn out to be what I had hoped it would be. And thankfully, it only lasted a few months. And I was welcomed back with open arms from Alan and Joe Donahue. And since then, I've been doing pretty much what I've been doing right now. And that is, you know, midday in the afternoon and evening shift.
What were some of the big stories from your time that stick out to you that we've covered here?
Wow. Well, of course, the election of President Trump was just, I remember working that night in the newsroom, and we all thought it'd be a quick night. Hillary Clinton would be elected, and we'd be home by midnight. But of course, that's not what happened. That was a shocker. There have been other news stories. I remember Alan was hosting Vox Pop. And the word came over the Associated Press that Governor Elliot Spitzer had admitted that he had spent time with prostitutes. And that was just another shock. I mean, it was just completely out of the blue. We knew the governor then, Spitzer, was going to announce something, but we had no idea what it was. And I interrupted Vox Pop, handed Alan the message, and he just kind of looked at me. And you know, we had to take it from there that day. It was just one of these days that you don't expect what's going to happen. And when it happens, it's just amazing.
Do you find that you thrive off days like that?
Yeah, I do. I really like the pressure, the deadline pressure, getting the tape together, getting the writing together. I wouldn't want it every day. Certainly, I wouldn't want that every day, but it really does sort of reinvigorate you when you do something like that. I think it really sort of gets you going.
We're speaking with Brian Shields, WAMC's senior news anchor, and if you haven't heard the news yet, it's true. We tried to talk him out of it, but he's going to be retiring at the end of this month. I have a few more questions.
Sure.
We haven't really had a conversation like this too often.
No.
You have to have a thick skin in your job, right? You're on the air, and if you screw something up, you hear about it oftentimes.
Yep.
Our listeners hold us to a really high
mm-hmm.
standard.
Mm-hmm.
How have you dealt with that over the years?
Well, if the criticism is fair, then it doesn't really bother me at much. If, you know, this person says you mispronounced this word, or this word was not used correctly, or perhaps you got this wrong, and they're right. If they're right, if I was factually wrong about something or did mispronounce something, it doesn't bother me as much because they're right. But if it doesn't reflect their opinion, or it doesn't reflect what they'd like to hear, not what we have to say, not what we think the truth is and what we're reporting the truth to be, that can kind of get grating. But, you know, that's the way it is. You just have to deal with it.
Part of your job has been to call the listener comment line. you know, it's a small subset of people who actually call the listener
yeah.
comment line.
Yeah.
But you give the listener comment line during the show.
Mm-hmm.
People can weigh in about what they think. And then the part that they don't see is that comment line gets full.
Yeah.
And we have to, you know, pick the highlights from each week. What have you learned about the listeners from that experience on a weekly basis?
Well, like you said, it's very often the same people, which is something I wish would kind of change. I wish more of our listeners who maybe have never called the comment line would do so and leave their thoughts. But I think again, you know, sometimes the criticism is valid, and sometimes it's just something that people don't want to hear, but we're doing it anyway, and they get angry.
I was thinking about, was getting ready to talk to you, I was thinking about all the people who have come and gone as employees, but also commentators over the years. And sadly, we've lost a lot of them
yeah.
in recent years. There's been a yeah. lot of death around the station.
Mm-hmm.
How have you dealt with that?
That's tough. I've met a lot of great, talented people, and some have died. Some have left us much too early, not just the commentators, but we've had some board ops and some other employees who have left us, and then either they passed on when we were here, or when they were here, or they left and we later heard that they were no longer with us. It's tough. It's, you know, you make good friendships, you get a lot of respect for the people you work with, and then when you hear about that, it's tough. But it's an honor to have known these people and to have worked with them.
You talked about delivering the newspaper when you were a little kid.
Right.
It's obviously troubled times for all media.
Yeah.
You know, WAMC is kind of been successful in spite of things lately, but who knows? And what do you think about the state of the press and our role in democracy here as you're wrapping up your career?
Well, when I started in radio, virtually every radio station had at least one person doing news, local news and national news. Sometimes, I mean, there would be a country music station with four people doing news. Now it's very rare. It's a sad thing to see that radio no longer staffs that, not every station, but most stations no longer staff that local news factor. They don't really believe in it. They just turn on the network once an hour if they do that at all. And that's too bad. And it really is. And I think it's a good training ground for people who go into TV as well. A lot of when I started here, a lot of the people in television had started in radio. That was the way you did it. You went from radio or maybe newspapers into TV. Now you see TV reporters just come right out of college and go right into the media, and they kind of lack the seasoning and the experience, which would have helped them very much. But that's what bugs me. The newspapers, well, I think they're doing the best they can with what they've got. And
yeah.
I think that's about all you can say. I mean, I know it's a tough time getting readers and advertisers, et cetera, with the internet and everything else going on, but I think there will always be a paper on the front doorstep, maybe on the internet too.
That's the future. Mm-hmm. I'm asked this question a lot. I'm like one generation older than the college students I meet now. So what advice do you have for young people who wonder whether they should get into this career? Because they hear about the challenges, they hear how demanding it can be, and you know what the future looks like. And they think it's maybe too bleak for them. What do you say?
I think it isn't bleak as long as you keep your options open. If you just want to do, I just want to do this one thing, then you might be in trouble. If you go into the media thinking I can do this, and maybe get interested in that, then I think you'll have an easier go of it. But it's going to be tough because media is consolidating. Media is shrinking in some ways, and it's tougher than it was when I first began. There were quite a few jobs available. Like I said, most radio stations did have news components. Most don't now, and that makes it tougher to get going.
What about interviewing public officials? You've interviewed a lot of politicians over the years. We cover a lot of cities and local municipalities. We also cover state governments. And there's any number of campaigns, especially on the congressional level. And for people who listen to Midday Magazine, you know, a lot of days we're trying to make it fair and interview, you know, differing candidates for a certain seat. And you've had to do the lion's share of those interviews over the years, and oftentimes they don't want to tell you anything.
Yeah, you ask a question and they give you another answer to a different question that you didn't ask, which is kind of unusual. When you ask a question and then you hear the answer, well, I think the real issue here is, then you know they're going someplace else and you try to bring them back to what you were asking, but all you can do is ask the question and ask it again and maybe again. I mean, you can't make someone answer if they don't want to answer, although you can really insist that they do, but they won't sometimes, and it's disappointing, but that doesn't always happen. Sometimes you'll talk to somebody and they're very honest and they're very direct, and it all depends who the person is and what the situation is.
What do you think's the biggest change you've seen in the time you started here, you know, 30 years ago to now, as we head into a new decade, the 2020s?
Well, technically it's completely different. When I got here, everything was on tape. You spliced with razor blades and splicing tape. You know, we had the big clattering AP machine that would overheat and get tangled. But now it's all on computer. The AP is on computer. Then everything is edited on computer. All the interviews go through the computer. So, and it's much, much better, much more efficient. Takes a little getting used to when it first changed. I guess I was kind of a Luddite when it came to that when it first started. But, you know, once you get used to it, once you do it, I think the technical change is just pretty amazing. We had typewriters when I started, typewriters and AP machine, and that was about it. And a tape recorder. Now it's all digital.
I came in after the last razor blades were being cleaned out. Mm-hmm. Did you ever, like, cut yourself when you were using those? Was it scary?
Never did that, no. Made some pretty bad splices sometimes, but I never cut myself. That never worked too well.
Are there any big bloopers that stand out in your mind when you look back on it?
No, thank God. No, I can't think of anything. You got to be pretty careful around the microphone. Don't say something near the microphone you don't want it to go over because it just might be on. So that's one rule I'd say to young people or anybody whenever you're near a radio microphone or anything like that. Just be careful what you say. If you don't want it heard, don't say it.
A couple more things. Yeah. People will remember the plays that you wrote for many years during the WAMC fund drive.
I'm sorry for that.
Alan and
that
David
was not
Gillespie.
My idea. That was Alan's idea.
And they'd be different characters. Mm-hmm. And eventually it all came around to 1-800-323-9262 in the end. Yeah. Talk a little bit about the fund drives at WAMC. And that's obviously a huge difference from commercial radio.
Oh, it is. And when I started here, the fund drives honestly could go 10 days, 2 weeks, and we would raise in that 10-day, 2 weeks what we raise now in 1 day. It took that long, and it was painful. I mean, you get $20,000 a day if you were lucky. And I can remember one summer when we spent 2 weekends here, and it was beautiful out. Some people were crying because there goes the summer. But, of course, back then we didn't have quite as many transmitters, didn't have quite as many listeners. Our reach has expanded quite a bit because of all the translators, they call them, and our broadcast towers across the region. So that makes it easier. But let me tell you, the fund drives used to be really slow, but now we've got the lockbox, and the fund drives are, what, day and a half tops now, which is pretty amazing when you think about it.
Let's keep it going.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so you're going to be retiring. You're going to be living a different kind of life.
Absolutely.
What are your plans as you look forward here?
I'm not going to turn off the news, but I want to disconnect a little bit because I want to become a news consumer without having to worry about being a news reporter. Sort of, I guess, being a baseball player who no longer plays baseball and he gets to just go to the stands and watch the game, something like that. It's going to be interesting to sort of watch the news and read the news as something I haven't been able to do without being involved in the news for 40 years now, which is going to be very interesting, and sleep in a little bit too, I hope.
The first day that you're not working here, what's that day going to look like?
Oh, boy. It's going to be a very interesting day. I'm certainly going to keep listening to this radio station because then I hope everyone will certainly keep sending in the checks and keep supporting it because it's a great thing. I think when you travel around the country and you listen to other public stations and certainly what's happened to commercial radio, you really appreciate WAMC for what it is and what it can do. And it's quirkiness, it's craziness sometimes, but it's certainly one of the best radio stations you'd ever want to listen to and certainly one of the best you'd ever want to work for.
Well, Brian, I don't think it's telling tales out of school, but when we train someone new, when we have a new intern, when we have a new employee, till this day, it's kind of like a Torah portion that gets handed down through time. We lay out, you know, how certain things are done, and it all goes back to you. Here's how Brian set up the template to do this news break. Here's what midday sounds like. Mm-hmm. Listen to Brian. And here's how you go forward. And you're going to be leaving us. I'm very sad about that. I know we all are. But the sort of model that you've shown us is going to be intact. And that, I think, is a tremendous legacy. I'm really sorry to see you go, but I'm so glad that you gave me the privilege of doing this exit interview. Thank you.
Well, thank you. And again, it's going to be in great hands. Jim Lavoulos will be taking over what I've been doing. Ian is a great news director. Jim's a great assistant, and everything is going to go great. I'm going to miss everybody. I'm going to miss the listeners. I'm going to miss the news, but it's kind of time to move on, but I'm leaving everyone in great, great hands.
And we'll give you a call if we're a little shorthanded in the next fun drive, all right?
No, that's not okay.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.